Song says we are the light of the world. Why? Why are we the light? How are we the light of the world? Jesus said, I am the light of the world, right? We have Jesus within us. His Spirit lives within us. And because He is the light of the world and His Spirit lives within us, we are the light now. Now that He has returned to His Father in heaven, we are the light of the world, and we need to let our light shine. I'm going to put the first one up. In Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, there's something special about light. If you're at home during the day, okay, you don't have any lights on or anything, and then night comes, what happens to your house? Gets dark, right? Gets dark. What happens when you turn a light on, though? The darkness flees. Okay. All right, let's say you're at home again during the day, and you have some lights on, and the night comes. What happens inside your house? Does anything change? No. It's because light drives away darkness. Darkness cannot stand the light. Darkness cannot overcome the light. But light overcomes the darkness. And we are the light of the world. I think all of us understand completely. There's a lot of darkness out there. You turn on the news, you read the newspaper, you listen to the radio, whatever. Nothing but darkness out there. Well, I should say, there is some light out there, obviously. But it just seems like everywhere we turn, everywhere we look, there's darkness. There's hatred and bitterness and fighting and wars and all sorts of things. Theft, murder. It's a terrible thing out there. What the world needs is more light. More light. And we are the light. Next one. Now in the Gospel of Luke, it says, be prepared and keep your lamps lit. You are also to be like people who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door for him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will prepare himself to serve and have them recline at the table, and he will come up and serve them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. Be prepared. We don't know when the Lord is coming back. Keep your lamps lit. Lamps can go out. Bulbs blow. Right? You have to replace them every once in a while. Candles, when they melt down, will go out. Or if a breeze comes by, blows them out. It's important for us to keep our light shining. But there's a problem that we have. Does anybody know what this is? A dimmer switch, yes. What's the purpose of a dimmer switch? We have one here that operates some of these lights. You turn it one way, and the light gets brighter. You turn it the other way, and it goes dim. And of course, you push the button, and it goes out, or on. But that's the purpose of a dimmer switch. It makes the light brighter or it dims it, depending on what you desire. But did you know that each one of us has a built-in dimmer switch in us? You didn't know that, I'll bet. Yeah, we all have dimmer switches in us. And we're not totally aware of it. And we're not really sure of how it works within us, but we all have one. And Satan knows exactly how it works. We're to keep our lights at their brightest. But what's the thing that activates our dimmer switch within us that causes our lamp to go dim? It's when we get distracted, when our attention gets turned to something else other than our first love, Jesus. If Satan cannot get you to deny the faith, what he will try to do is distract you, to get your attention on something else. That is not necessarily bad in itself, but if it takes your attention away from God so that you spend less time with him, maybe you don't pray as often or you don't, you know, attend church as often, and the devil whispers in your ear, it's a dreary day out there, you know, it's getting cold. Maybe you just like to sleep in this morning. Now, I'm not saying that the people who aren't here with us this morning are doing that. I'm sure they all have good reasons. But that's one thing that he does. So he says, oh, look at this shiny thing over there. Wouldn't you like to have it? Okay? Could be a new car. Could be something for the home. But is it God's will for you to have that? Or to have your attention riveted on that, so that you covet it? Oh, I gotta have that. You see so many commercials on TV, and this always irks me. You know, they present something, some service or some product, you know. Get everything that you deserve. If we got everything that we deserved, we'd be in a really sad state. But that's the whole point. They try and get you churned up so that, oh yeah, you deserve that. You need that. You should have that. Don't you want it? Oh yeah. And then you go after something. And it's not necessarily what God wants you to have. Or maybe it just takes up your time or attention and you're riveted on that, and maybe you know you should be spending some time in prayer or something, and you don't. You don't. You get drawn away. And every time you get drawn away, the dimmer switch works a little bit. And you get dimmer and a little dimmer. Your light a little dimmer, a little dimmer. And you don't even realize it. That's one of the tricky things about Satan. Some of these changes are so small that you don't even notice them. Until maybe, 6 months go by, a year. And you start wondering, why are things different? It's all because you got drawn away from God, drawn away from him. And you notice that you don't feel the same way or think the same way, or you don't feel as good having the fellowship with other people. That's how it works. But by the same token, you want to turn that dimmer switch up, the reverse needs to happen. You need to stay focused on the Lord. He is your first love. Jesus said, seek the things that are in heaven, not the things that are on the earth. He also said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we all need to ask ourselves the question, where is my treasure? Is it here on earth? Is it something here? Or is it in heaven, my true home? We need to make sure that our treasure is in heaven and that our focus remains on the Lord. Just like he says, be ready. Keep those lamps lit, turned up all the way. You don't know when I'm coming back. You don't know. Could be any time. But if you're ready and doing the things that you're supposed to be doing, you're blessed. Because what does the Lord say? He'll prepare a table for us. He'll serve us. The big banquet of of all of the saved people in heaven. The wedding feast of the Lord that we'll be invited to. We'll all be served by Him. Blessed are you if you keep those lamps lit. So I just want to encourage you. Satan is on the prowl. Don't fall for his tactics, especially in these days. He doesn't want us to remember that the Lord is coming back and it could be any time. He wants to distract us, to get our attention on something else, so the Lord can't use us. If I'm busy doing something else or focused on something else and the Lord in his still small voice wants to speak to us, we can't hear him. We miss out on a blessing. And whatever it is the Lord wants us to do, there's a blessing that's missed by somebody else probably. So we need to stay focused. It was funny because I do my devotions every morning and I read the Bible and then I read our daily bread and I read the upper room and I spend time in prayer. And obviously the Lord knew what the message was going to be about today because he gave it to me in the first place. And I read our daily bread this morning. I said, wow, I need to read this in church. I don't know if any of you have read it this morning or not. But here it is. It starts out, there's always a little scripture on top and then the story or whatever. The scripture is, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? And that's from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. And the title of this is Choose Wisely. Astronaut Chris Ferguson made a difficult decision as the commander of the flight crew scheduled for a journey to the International Space Station. But that decision didn't have anything to do with the mechanics of flight or the safety of his fellow astronauts. Instead, it pertained to what he considers his most important work, his family. Ferguson opted to keep his feet planted firmly on Earth so he could be present for his daughter's wedding. We all face difficult decisions at times, decisions that cause us to evaluate what matters most to us in life, because one option comes at the expense of the other. Jesus aimed to communicate this truth to his disciples and a crowd of onlookers regarding life's most important decision, to follow him. To be a disciple, he said, would require them to deny themselves in order to walk with him. They might have been tempted to spare themselves the sacrifices required of following Christ and instead seek their own desires. But he reminded them it would come at the price of that which matters much more. We're often tempted to pursue things that seem of great value, yet they distract us from following Jesus. Let's ask God to guide us in the choices we face each day so we'll choose wisely and honor him. Then there's always a little question or something down here and then a little prayer. And it says, what choices have you made that drew you away from Jesus? What choices have drawn you nearer? Those are good questions that we can ask ourselves. What decisions have I made in the past that drew me away from the Lord? But what choices have I made that drew me nearer? Then the little prayer, Jesus, I want to walk with you. Please help me to recognize and choose the paths that will foster a deeper connection to you. So it always amazes me when he ties something in unexpectedly. It just fits in, or fit in so well with the message. I didn't know it was there until I read it this morning. I said, wow. Talks about choices. The choices that we make, that we're faced with every day. Am I going to allow myself to be distracted by the choices I make? Or am I going to make the choices that plug me in more deeply in my relationship with God? Excuse me. Knowing that full well, He's coming soon. He wants us to be ready, to be prepared. Keep those lamps lit so they shine the brightest possible. That doesn't mean that you suddenly go out and stand on the street corner and start preaching the gospel. But it means wherever you go, whatever you do, your actions and your words, let others know, whether directly or indirectly, who you belong to and who is the most important person in your life, and that you follow Him. Others will see it and recognize it. You don't necessarily have to preach Jesus. You just have to live your life in a way that glorifies God. And those are the choices that we need to make, so that we, when He returns, will be found doing the things that He wants us to do, and we will be blessed for it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your grace. And thank You too for Your instruction, Your warnings, knowing, Lord, how the devil operates and how he wants to distract us from godly things and from our relationship with You. How He wants to short circuit the things that are important in our lives, that we become ineffective for God. We must not let that happen. Strengthen us, Lord. Remind us. Help us to recognize when we're faced with a choice, a decision, to choose wisely, to know what is the godly thing to do. Lord, we commit ourselves to You. Place ourselves in Your hands and just ask for the guidance of Your Holy Spirit. We praise You and give You the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.